In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we have to understand that there is a certain logic as to the way the epistle and gospel readings are set up throughout the yearly liturgical cycle. We note that from a few weeks after Epiphany, the Gospels we hear from Advent through Christmas and Easter until Trinity generally relate to the history of our salvation, the incarnation, birth, life, death, and resurrection of our blessed Lord, continuing with his ascension into heaven and the descent of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. During the other parts of the year, the season in which Sunday Mass is almost always celebrated in green vestments, we hear the parables, or stories about the kingdom of heaven, uttered by our Lord in the course of his public life. Now here it might be good to observe that he often rebukes the elite of the Jews by mentioning someone whom they can be expected to dislike as the hero of the story. A few weeks ago, we heard about the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee was a member of the Jewish elite. But it was the humble publican, the tax collector, whom our Lord commended. In last Sunday's gospel, a priest and a Levite, again, members of the elite, ignored the man who had been beaten by robbers and left half dead by the side of the road. It was the outcast Samaritan who took care of the man and will be ever remembered as the Good Samaritan. Sometimes it's the Roman soldier, the centurion, to whom our Lord approves. "I've not found such great faith in Israel. Many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." The centurion was part of the hated Roman occupational army. And here our Lord was approving him and threatening that the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here he's talking about the Jews, who are the chosen people. The message in this is that our Lord is cautioning us as well. He's cautioning us, warning us not to be so filled with self-importance that we disdain others simply because they may be of a lower class, poorer than we are. They may be not what we think they should be. Who knows? We should esteem people not on the basis of what or who they are, but on the way they live their lives. "By their fruits you shall know them." His apostles were all very simple men, but also the greatest saints of the church. We know that the lepers in today's gospel were all outcasts. They were shunned by society. The Mosaic law treated leprosy as a punishment for sin and prescribed a number of health regulations which, among other things, required the leper to stay away from those not infected. They lived in their own area of the city. I know this because I was in Africa for a while, and there was a leper colony not too far from the mission, and we used to visit them, bring them Holy Communion, hear their confession. But they stayed in their part of the city. If somehow the leper was cured of his affliction, he was to be presented to the priest, he was to present himself to the priest in the temple, who, following the instructions of the Mosaic law, would pronounce him cured or not. Now the lepers in today's gospel did what they were told to do and were made clean of the disease they suffered under as they made pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned in a loud voice, glorifying God, fell on his face, giving thanks. And this man was a Samaritan. Once again, the hero of the story was an outcast, and indeed an outcast among his fellow lepers. 9 of the 10 failed to give thanks to our Lord for his miracle. Now, if you think about this, we'll find that perhaps we too are guilty of the same thing. Our Lord has done many things for us, but do we take the time to thank him? Do we show our gratitude? And that's what this gospel is all about. And here, we don't even have to make the trip from Jerusalem to Galilee to do so. Life, as we know, is fraught with many difficulties, many sufferings, and it doesn't always go exactly as we want it to. But still, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have our lives. We have our immortal souls. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of our dear Lord. We have the grace of being Catholic, and even an added grace of being traditional Catholic, a grace to which we have responded. We have and we see the importance of the traditional Latin Mass and the perennial doctrine of the Church, and we have a place where we can live out that faith according to the ancient traditions and discipline of the Church. Remember that many are much less fortunate than we are, not only in spiritual things, but in material things as well. Relative, and this we have to remember, relative to other times and nations, the poorest among us live fairly well. We have luxuries that some of the contemporaries of our blessed Lord could never have dreamed of, that even people 100 years ago would never have imagined. And yet many of these things become dangerous for us. Certainly God owes us none of this. On the contrary, we men and women have often done things which merit punishment rather than reward. And here we can ask ourselves, how many times have I acted as one of those 9 who did not return to give thanks to Almighty God? If we're honest, we know the answer. It's probably far too many times, and for whatever reason, through negligence, through our own selfish pride, or because we think we deserve or have a right to these things. Like so many of our contemporaries, especially the young, we see ourselves as entitled. Again, God owes us nothing. And we have to remember that everything can just as well be taken away from us. Remember Job from the Old Testament. We have to understand that gratitude is also a virtue, and a virtue that we're bound to practice throughout our lives and perfect throughout our lives. St. Thomas teaches us that gratitude is a moral virtue, the moral virtue by which we show appreciation, acknowledgement, and to repay with gladness the favors one has received. So, my friends, together with this Samaritan, we should resolve to return to God often, return to our Lord often, and give him thanks for his goodness. Every day we should make thanksgiving a part of our life, a part of our prayer life, a part of our spiritual life, thanking God for all the things he's given us out of his abundant generosity, thanking him after Mass for having come to us in the most blessed sacrament of the altar, thanking him for his sacrifice on the cross, the redemption of our sins. And once in a while, as often as possible, we should make an effort to thank our blessed Lord here present in the tabernacle, waiting for our visit. We, his modern-day publicans and centurions and Samaritans, his unworthy servants, whom he holds as precious as those who can consider themselves as elite, as entitled. We may never have the misfortune as to be compared to those nine. So we have to strive every day to return thanks and offer to God our gratitude for his favor. Remember that the nine who did not return lost his favor, that it may never be so for us, that we be so proud as to neglect to return thanks as we should, and thus be blessed with the response of our Lord, as in today's gospel, "Go thy way, thy faith has saved thee." Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.